Welcome to the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast, the show for business owners in their 40s and 50s who deeply desire a business that serves the market strong and who deeply desire to finish strong personally. I'm Scott Kochenour, your host, and I'm glad that you're listening today. Today, we're talking with Dan Smits. Dan is going to open your eyes to what it requires in terms of time and process for you to exit your business. Before we get into that, let me tell you a little bit more about Dan. He's been in business for 25 years. He's owned multiple companies, including a medical billing and medical technology company. He's acquired related companies and then exited the business in 2020. After that, then he founded a company called Growth Point Partnership in 2021 and acquired That's My Idea Marketing in February of 22. Highly entrepreneurial. His burning desire is to build a business resource organization for entrepreneurs, which would include fractional COO, marketing, and accounting services. His key to success is his drive and determination. When we get into the conversation, you will see that we talk about how important timing is and a little bit longer than you think to exit your business and why. We're going to talk about why it takes 3 to 5 years. We're also going to talk about how important it is that you bring people around you who are experts in their particular field, taxes, wealth management, and other areas like CPAs, and why this advice is so valuable. We're also going to be talking about an example from Dan's life as to how he has gone through his exit, some of the things that he has learned along the way, what he would have done differently. And my hope in this episode is that as you listen to this and you're considering exiting your business, that this would be a solid episode for you to kickstart your creativity on how exactly you're going to exit. Remember, it's not necessarily just exiting your business. We talk more in terms of options strategy, because the more strategic you can be and give yourself a little time, you can open up options that you never thought might be possible. So let's get into the conversation with Dan. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Not a problem. Hey, we're talking about planning to exit your business. The listeners here most likely have a business that they founded or they own, and they're getting older, as we all do. It's something we all can't get out of. You know, that's and so they are considering exiting. But we're going to talk about how to plan for that exit. So my first question is, why is it important to plan your exit so far in advance, like 3 to 5 years? I mean, why not just plan on doing it next year?
Yeah. Well, people are looking for consistency when someone goes and purchases a business. So they want to see a consistent track record over that period of time, that there was a definite plan and strategy in place, and that at least a mini advisory board to help them to be able to steer their company in the right direction and have predictability towards, hey, we set a goal and we hit it. And being able to share that along the way really builds strength for the next organization of seeing that they've already done their due diligence through that process. So now the new owners or the people that will take over, or family members that will take over, everything structured in place, and that will drive value by being organized through that process. So having a quarterback to run that whole system throughout that period of time to make sure that things are in place for the exit, and that you're reviewing it every year and you're valuing your company at that point of every year that you're having a mini board meeting and going through that structure is super important, and that'll pay residuals when you go sell the organization or transfer it to, you know, people within your company, that there's value there to transfer and their structure.
Okay. So we're talking about having, you referred to a board of advisors. What if there's a listener today who their business is not really that big, but it is lucrative, and they are the owner, and they've got three or four labor staff members, but they never really had a board at all. What would your advice be to a person in that situation?
Well, I look at a board being that it's one person, could even be the founder of the company, right? It's really a mindset behind the planning versus the number of people or who's advising you, right? So it could be as simple as you as the owner of a person that has five employees really has structure around these different meetings with yourself or a business consultant that helps you guide you through that process. So you don't need a fancy, you know, board structure. You just need some structure to be able to hold you accountable to do this planning and really have the foresight towards looking out to the future of building that vision that's going to turn into value for your organization.
Okay. Well, that makes complete sense. And I trust that that will be really helpful information. I've come across clients in that situation where they've for years have run a business and it's been very successful, but you know, they don't have the traditional board or staff or that sort of thing. Now let's move to another topic. And when I do strategic planning for clients, one of the foundational things that we do is we list out their support network. And typically my clients think, okay, that's family, that's friends, that's colleagues, you know, that sort of thing. But it also includes all of the strategic partners that they have brought along, like CPAs and attorneys and the insurance agents and all that sort of thing. So I'm assuming that in an exit strategy process, when you're thinking 3 years out, 4 years, 5 years, I'm going to exit this business, you can't do it alone, right? So why is it important to have strategic relationships like a CPA or a financial planner or an exit strategist or even an attorney on the team?
Yeah, it's so important to have that team built around a foundation of education that you as the business owner that's busy running the business, doing these things, you can't become an expert in all of the areas of tax and, you know, other financial things and laws out there and just the overall climate, right? So it's so important to be able to have those people to be able to guide you in a direction that you're planning ahead for anticipation of the laws and different tax exit strategies and things that will help you build your value within your plan. So when it comes to your negotiations with the new owner, you'll be able to position yourself to be able to know what that exit looks like for you because you've planned along the way and you've educated and provided information to your CPA, to your attorney, to your financial planner, right? Because it all turns into a personal transaction at the end, right? That you're looking to, you know, go off into retirement or buy a new business, right? And all of those things will trigger activity that's going to cause taxable events or non-taxable events, right? So it's all about having a strategy towards running your business, but now honing up or improving the organization from an educational standpoint takes, you know, reading books and different education from your advisor. So having that team in at least meeting once a year throughout the process, right? And even before that, you should have advice, right, from other people. It doesn't take a lot of time, but that information is so valuable to be able to get your mindset straight that if you think that you're going to exit, you're going to get this big pile of money, right? Well, that's not always the best way to do it, right? You might want to stretch it out over a couple of years, however that works. And an advisor will be able to instruct you of that and how to put together the deal so you have less risk at the end of it all because you've done all the planning to position yourself for that exit.
I've got a comment and I've got a follow-up question. The comment is typically we think exit strategy and probably those who have been with us on this podcast episodes so far, naturally assumed that there's one option. You know, I'm going to sell my business and do whatever, you know, I'm going to get whatever. And I'm going to just, I haven't really thought about it, but there's this life after the sale and it's dark. I mean, I don't know what that will be. It has to be fun, right? Because I'm not going to be laboring and working near as much. So my comment is I prefer an option strategy as opposed to an exit strategy in as far as terms go. However, what you allude to here is the more strategic you can be in the exit strategy, the way you're going to exit, the more options that you will have, the more options that you will be able to consider. Because when you bring these people around you, they will be able to advise you. For example, and this leads to my follow-up question to that is, why wouldn't someone want to take all of the proceeds of the sale of their business in 1 year? Is there a taxable event that would trigger? I mean, is there an advantage or a disadvantage to that?
Yeah, based on how much money you're talking about and, you know, other income that they have within their family, and those types of planning things are CPA related, but I've had it myself where I've exited a business and having it stretched out over time, you know, helped us from a planning standpoint. And, you know, we were able to have interest as well. So we were making money as an event of having that money set aside. So there are, you know, different scenarios. You know, it's harder to plan with a big pile of money than smaller piles of money, right?
Okay. I think the main thing is here, don't do this alone. There are things that you may regret looking back on the sale. And when you bring in experts from different perspectives, like CPAs, attorneys, tax advisors, financial wealth advisors, that is your best bet. So we've been talking about time. You know, don't plan on doing this in the next 2 months. You know, don't, as of the recording of this episode, it is coming toward the end of 2023. Don't expect that you're going to sell your business by the end of this year if you're just now thinking about it, right? We're talking 2026, 2027, 2028. That just gives you greater options. It gives you greater planning, and you can bring these experts to the table. That's fantastic. Now, can you share with us an example of how planning for an exit is different than someone not planning, or someone not planning and how that works out? Give us an example.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I was in the revenue cycle industry, and I founded the company back in 1998. And I would say by 2008, I was getting better with planning and joined a pure CEO group and really started to invest time in books and different things. And then by 2014, I was really going strong with a business plan and things were really increasing. In 2017, I had a goal to sell some of the shares of the organization and merge with another company that acquired us. And then I was the CEO for 3 years after that and had a buy-sell agreement and all the structure in place that basically started back in 2008, right? And then I 100% exited the organization in 2020. So we're talking, you know, 12 years of maturity towards thinking about this, having a vision, right? And then I have a colleague that owned a revenue cycle management company at the same period of time, right? And she was, you know, plodding along, not doing the planning, not doing the structuring. So she didn't grow. She didn't, you know, prosper in those areas. And then at the end of it, she closed her business and had no opportunity to even sell it because she didn't do the planning and structuring of the business. And mm-hmm. I exited with, you know, a very successful payday, right? Mm-hmm. And it really ended up giving me the foundation for my next organization that I started, right? That I now run on a day-to-day basis. And all of that knowledge of doing that planning has now helped me to not make the stupid mistakes that I've made along the way of now I can materialize things a lot quicker than I was able to do it before. So it's all that progression of vision and follow through. And I always followed through. You know, there was times I procrastinated, but in the end of it, I always came out with a plan. And if you don't have a plan, it's going to really be difficult to scale your business and exit with a successful paycheck.
So for the listener listening to you talking about planning, having a plan, what about those people who are, they think when they think plan, they think that'll constrict me. You know, if I've got a plan, then I've got to stick to the plan. And what happens if something happens as a windfall and I miss it because I'm so stuck to the plan? Would you have advice for that person?
Yeah, I would say don't overthink planning, right? Be nimble through your process. That a plan can change, you know, a couple of times a year, and you adapt and you ebb and flow. The reason you have a plan is you're predicting what's going to happen, but that doesn't mean that's what's going to happen, right? So then you have to be there and be ready and on top of your plan to adjust through that period of time. And that adjustment and being nimble is where you learn as a leader to be a planner and to execute. So you'll then know the next time, hey, I can't procrastinate as long on certain things because my plan is going to be nimble and I have to sometimes force that flexibility. Where if I just sit back on my, you know, laurels and just don't do anything, right? Well, that's not a plan. The plan is I'm expecting you to be active with that plan.
I kind of knew the answer to the question I was asking you, but I wanted them, my listeners, to hear it from someone other than me. I mean, to me, without a plan, you're more constricted.
Right.
Ultimately, right? Because the older we get, the more valuable our time is. And so when we make a mistake as a result of no planning, it really impacts us in our 60s and 70s. Whereas in our 30s and 40s, we have time to bounce back, you know, conceptual, you know, you would think. But so I want to stick with this for a minute. You've got an experience. You sold before. So looking back on that whole situation where you've sold your business, is there anything you would say that you would have done differently?
Probably would have reacted a little quicker with certain types of pieces of growing the business faster to be able to expand our market ahead of time versus not having it that I had to merge with another organization in order to expand that. So if you're looking to expand, you know, like throughout the Midwest or nationally, do it sooner than later, because the longer you wait, the more you become entrenched in a local market, right? And it becomes very difficult from an expense standpoint to expand, right? So if I would have expanded faster to other areas by myself, I would have possibly created more value, because in Minnesota where I live, their healthcare is shrinking over the years, right? In other parts of the country, it's not shrinking as much, right? The independent practices are growing. Where here in Minnesota, it's all about the big systems, right? So if I would have anticipated those other areas, I could have, you know, added on more value to the company. You look at things in hindsight. Now with my new business, I'm, you know, getting out there in the virtual world and expanding throughout the United States, and knowing that I need to do that, you know, a lot quicker than I did before. The climate has changed, so it's helping me with this, you know, virtual movement that we have going. But, you know, those are the things that I look back on And now I've learned from them, and hopefully I don't make that mistake again. I'm running out of time too. I don't plan on doing this for the next 30 years too.
Right. Right. What comes to my mind is the traditional SWOT analysis. One of the many processes that a person can go through to, in the journey of exit or in the journey of shifting to a different thing, which might include the exit of the current business, SWOT analysis, other analyses that you would suggest other than that. How do you understand your market?
Yeah, we've always worked through the ESO system or traction system, and I've developed our own system, the Growth Point system. And it's really taking the books you've read and different exercises and putting them into a format that works for your organization, and that you have these tools and thought processes and org charts and different things that you're constantly using and adapting as your business goes, or if you're helping other people with that. So really having your toolbox, I would be my suggestion to it, of just really knowing, you know, how you deal with solving problems, right? And documenting how you solve the problem and what's the next step to it, that there's parts to your business plan that, you know, are takeaways that of projects that you do that you need to use systems in order to get through those projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Growth Point. So let's talk about what you do. For those who have listened to you and they're resonating with you and they've developed enough of a likability factor and they'd like to reach out to you, let's talk about what you do in your business. First of all, your business name, and where can we find that?
Yeah, so growthpointpartnership.com. We are a fractional COO and business service company. So we walk alongside entrepreneurs to help them through the planning and growth and strategy process, but we're very hands-on and in the operations to help to make sure that those things that you want to accomplish get accomplished through activity and executing on those different initiatives within your business. So it's all about us having a system around being chief operating officers, having marketing experience, having accounting experience to be able to be the quarterback for your team. And then we bring in other experts, you know, like you, Scott, and an attorney and CPA and other people. And we help them to run their business because they can't afford to have a leadership structure around them. So we offer that to these smaller businesses or businesses that, you know, are virtual, that don't have this huge structure behind them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. So this has been very enlightening. I think that we have set the expectation that you need a 3 to 5 year window for the purpose of strategically and intentionally looking to grow your business, shore up any challenges with systems and procedures and employees, managers, and all of that. And you help in that process. So glad to have you on the show, and look forward to having other conversations with you in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
Very informative. Thank you, Dan.
Yep. Have a good day.
This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. Here are your next steps. Number one, subscribe to the show. That way you'll be notified of the upcoming episodes. Number two, share this show with a colleague. The show is dedicated to mature business owners who want a great company and a fantastic personal fourth quarter in their life. And third, go to servingstrong.com/POD. That's pod, P-O-D, for more details on what to do with the episodes. And it's a place for you to dive just a little deeper on the topics that matter most to you. Thanks for listening. And until next time, here's to your business serving strong and to you finishing strong. This has been another episode of the Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. I take your time very seriously. Therefore, my pledge is to continue bringing you information and insight you need to be successful in your adventure as you finish strong. Be sure to check the show notes for the information related in this episode. Subscribe to be notified when new shows drop and leave a review if you're so inclined. I'll talk to you next time.